Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're continuing in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 13, Text 46, The Behavior of a Perfect Person. Sri Narada Uvacha, Dharmam Paramahamsyam Vai, Mune Shruta Sureshvaraha, Pujayitva Tata Prita, Amantriya Prayayao Griham. Srinarada Uvacha, Dhammam Paramahamsyam Vai, Mune Shrutva Sureshvaraha, Pujayitva Tata Prita, Amantriya Prayayao Griham. Srinarada Uvacha, Dharmam Paramahamsyam Vai, Mune Shrutva Sureshvaraha, Pujayitva Tata Prita, Amantriya Parayao Griham. Srinarada Uvacha, Dhammam Paramahamsyam Vai, Mune Shrutva Sureshvaraha, Pujayita Pita Pita, Mantriya Prayaya Griham. Srinarada Uvacha, Dhammam Paramahamsyam Vai, Paramahamsam Vai, Sri Sita Vareshvaraha, Amantray Vrayayam Griham.
Ladies.
Sri Narada Uvacha, Paramam Paramahamsyam Vai, Mune Shrutva Sureshvaraha, Pujayitva Tata Prita, Amantraya Prayaya Griham.
Ladies.
Sri Narada Uvacha, Dharmam Paramahamsyam Vai, Sita Prase Svaraha, Pujayitva Tata Prita, Amantriya Prayayo Griham. Sri Narada Uvacha, Dharmam Paramahamsyam Vai, Mune Shruta Svareshvaraha, Udayita Tata Prita, Atmantriya Prayaya Griham. Sri Narada Uvacha, Sri Narada Muni said, Dharmam, the occupational duty, Paramahamsyam, of the Paramahansas, the most perfect human beings. Vai, indeed. Mune, from the saintly person. Srutva, thus hearing. Asura Ishvaraha, the king of the Asuras. Prahlad Maharaj. Puja Yatva, by worshipping the saintly person. Tattaha, thereafter. Pritaha, being very pleased. Amantriya, taking permission. Prayayau, left that place. Griham, for his house, for his home. Translation. Narada Muni continued, after Prahlad Maharaj, the king of the demons, heard these instructions from the saint, he understood the occupational duties of the perfect person, Paramahamsa. Thus, he duly worshipped the saint, took his permission, and then left for his own home. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. As quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter, verse 128, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Kipa Vipra Kipra Naya, Sudra Kene Naya, Yei Krishna Tattva Veti, Sei Guru Haya. A guru, or spiritual master, can be anyone who is well conversant with the science of Krishna. Therefore, although Prahlad Maharaj was a grahasta, ruling over the demons, he was a Paramahamsa, the best of human beings, and thus he is our guru. In the list of gurus or authorities, Prahlad Maharaj's name is therefore mentioned. Svayambhur Narada Sambhu Kumara Kapilo Manu Prahlado Janako Bhishmo Baler Vyasakir Vayam. It's from Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 3rd chapter, verse 20. The conclusion is that a Paramahamsa is an exalted devotee, Bhagavat Priya. Such a Paramahamsa may be in any stage of life, brahmachari, grahasta, vanaprastha, or sannyas, and be equally liberated and exalted. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 13th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Behavior of a Perfect Person. Hare Krishna. So, very nice to be here in New Dwarka community. Before I start, I'd just like to thank Svavas Prabhu and many others behind the scenes who have helped me get situated here. And of course, I'd like to thank BLS International, through the outfit that hasn't processed a visa for over a month. So that I instead of being in Govardhan right now, getting ready for Kartik, I was allowed to be here in New Dwarka. So I consider that also very fortunate. I just came downstairs. I was upstairs with Naikatma Prabhu. We were in Srila Prabhupada's quarters. I had, after sitting and attending the classes the last few days, had so many stories. They were telling stories from Chaitanya Charitamrita, about the duties of a devotee. And of course, ultimately, the prime duty is taking orders from the spiritual master. This is our duty, whatever that may be. So I had, not from Chaitanya Charitamrita, but from Srila Prabhupada's Charitamrita, so many stories how Srila Prabhupada engaged all of his disciples in so many various ways. And of course, many of them were in GBC at the time, temple presidents, sannyasis. But Srila Prabhupada would also give them various, I would say, menial services to do. And as he often said, this was his duty as the spiritual master, to do correction, to chastise, and to let us know that none of us were big, big devotees. Everyone was menial servant. For myself, that began from the very first day I became his personal servant. And that was in New Vrindavan, just at the end of the Janmashtami festival in 1972. And the very first service he gave me was washing his lota after he had walked into the woods early in the morning, and he came back. He went off and he said, "Wait here." That was his very first instruction for me. "Wait here." So I stood and I waited. And he went off behind the trees, and a few minutes later he came back and he handed me his lota. And he said, "Now wash this with dirt and water, mud, you know, clay and water, and bring it back." And then he went off into the house. So I knew right away my position as Srila Prabhupada's servant was, that was his lota, huh, that he used to go to the bathroom and sat under his desk and also to spittoon. So the interesting thing was, I was with Prabhupada 2.5 years, and I never had to clean his lota again because it was daily being polished by the Matajis, you know. And Prabhupada would go on his morning walk. They not only washed it, they polished it, you know, so many things, and it would be bright and shiny there. But the first start was that beginning was, this was my service, and this was my situation. And based on today's verse, you see so many times Srila Prabhupada mentions this word, Paramahamsa, the perfect person. And of course, being very fortunate to be with Srila Prabhupada, who's the most perfect person. But for me, what was very wonderful about being with Srila Prabhupada, who was Paramahamsa, the perfect person, was he was a person. He was not just a perfect person. He was also a person. He was a personality. And he had likes and dislikes, and he had an amazing sense of humor, which we'll come up with that soon. And so seeing that being a Paramahamsa didn't mean you were just some person without a personality. He had the most pleasant personality, and he knew how to use that personality as well. He knew how to engage everyone, and he knew how to attract everyone more and more to him. And thus to Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada didn't use this word very often in a daily basis. Paramahamsa is very special, perfect. How many perfect people do we know? But there was one time in Vrindavan, this is at Krishna Balaram Mandir. And so this was 1975, which was during the opening, almost 40 years ago. And of course at that time already the guest house was there. This was part of being perfect person, a Paramahamsa. Srila Prabhupada in India, the first thing he always built in Mayapur, in Vrindavan, in Bombay, was guest houses, not a temple. He built places for his disciples. His Westerners, who he knew, were used to comfort. So the first thing he did was see that they had somewhere nice to stay. So in Vrindavan, the guest house was there before the temple. In Mayapur, the lotus building was a guest house with a temple on the ground floor. The deities were on the ground floor. He was always very concerned that his disciples would be comfortable. He knew they were undergoing so many austerities. In India in particular, very austere in the early 70s. Those you had opportunity to be there, you know, it wasn't such an easy thing. And so the guest house was there, and it was occupied by all of his disciples from all over the world. And, of course, Vrindavan Temple was the place that Srila Prabhupada saw to personally the construction of this temple. He would walk around, you know, his morning walk towards the end was, so for many devotees, how many of his disciples, it could be a scary thing because everything had to be perfect. It's like Srila Prabhupada was perfect. He wanted to see that this temple in Vrindavan, Krishna's birthplace, Krishna's home, had to be the most perfect place so that it would be recognized as it is today. One of the most popular temples in Vrindavan. People go there every day. So it was important that this was done most proper temple. And he saw to that. And when the festival came, of course, all the GBC members were there. But Prabhupada didn't see GBC. You know, he didn't see all these, like he says in the purport here, brahmachari, grahastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi. He saw his disciples. And whatever he wanted them to do, that's what they had to do. And each of the GBC members became the temple, the devotees in the temple. So one was temple commander, another one was a treasurer, another one was in charge of the kitchen. He put each one of them to see that everything was being done properly and it would be first class, so that the opening of this temple would be magnificent. And he stressed that the disciples, his Western disciples, that they have very first class prasadam. And amongst that, he always said milk. Everyone must get cow's milk. So all these different things he took care of personally. And this is not something he did in other places. Management would go on. But in Vrindavan, he was the temple president. This is how it appeared from my vision. He was in charge. And he expertly delegated everything to his senior and trusted disciples to see that everything would be taken care of. And of course, in doing that, one of the names came up so often was Sarab. Sarab, he was in charge of the temple construction, the temple design, everything. And he worked night and day without sleep. And perhaps the final week, I don't know if he slept at all. He was busy all the time. Srila Prabhupada would call him in any hour of the day. He would ring his bell. You know, it could be midnight, 3 a.m. If Prabhupada had something he was thinking about, he would call him in and say, "You check on this. Are you doing this? Is this being done? And I saw this isn't right, and these doors aren't lining up properly." Everything he was seeing. And one night he called me, which was rare. Srila Prabhupada would ring his bell while I was taking rest. Usually between 10 and 5 a.m, Srila Prabhupada didn't ring his bell. But one night he did. It was about 1 a.m. And he rang his bell, and I went in, offered obeisances. And he said, "Where's Guru Kripa?" I said, "I think he's resting, Prabhupada." He said, "Go get him." So I went, you know, and I had to find in the guest house where he was staying. And of course, he was sleeping. And, you know, "Prabhupada wants to see you." I was like, So he gets up, and we both run back down and sit down. And Prabhupada's sitting. He said, "So, where were you?" "Well, I was in my room, Prabhupada." He said, "Well, what are you doing?" "So I was sleeping, resting, Prabhupada." "Why?" "You know, what could you say? You know, Prabhupada, would you just..." And he said, "I'm here. I'm up. I'm doing my translating work." He said, "I'm not resting." So Guru Kripa said, "Srila Prabhupada, you're a Paramahamsa." And Prabhupada looked. He said, "Why aren't you a Paramahamsa?" So this is what Srila Prabhupada, this was his idea. He wanted everyone to become Paramahamsa, become perfect, the perfect person. He said, "Why aren't you?" "Okay. Go take rest." Then we go back and take rest. Sarab, he was being with Prabhupada for a long time. It was very rare where I actually felt sorry for a devotee. Sarab was one of those devotees. I felt sorry for him. There's a couple others that just on occasion, but for Sarab, like I said, on a daily basis, Prabhupada would just, you know, "You're spending too much money." Because Prabhupada would look out his window. You know, he'd be sitting behind his desk, and he would look through his French doors, through the windows, and he would see the workers doing, not doing. And he'd say, "They're cheating you. You're paying them too much. You know, this is not going on. Why is this taking so long?" And this was all the time. And so I would just... "Yes, Prabhupada, I'll do it, Prabhupada, I'll do." So this was going every few hours, get Sarab. Yes, Prabhupada would run out, get sore, and come back. And he'd just, Prabhupada would get him about something. So now, the ceremony, the opening, is happening in a few days. And Srila Prabhupada's room was there, and it was like 90% complete. So he says to me, get Surab. So I go out, get Surab, come in, we offer obeisances. So I would come in, and then he said, so I need a proper toilet seat in his bathroom. Prabhupada wanted, they had one of those, and this is 1975, in Vrindavan, they had one of these nasty plastic things, you know. It was a Western toilet, so it was raised. And he said, I need a proper toilet seat. He said, out of wood. And he said, you can get it. And so, yes, Prabhupada. So this was the beginning of amazing that went on for days and days. And he said, I'll get one of the mysteries to carve. You know, you didn't just buy a toilet seat. This toilet seat had to be carved from hardwood. So he got one of the carpenters. And, of course, he has a hammer and a chisel to make this toilet seat. So he says, you know, Guru, you know, the Guru needs a toilet. So he's all excited now. He's getting to do personal service for Srila Prabhupada. So later in the day, Prabhupada says, where's Surab? Get Surab. So I go get Surab. And Prabhupada says, where's the toilet seat? Now imagine, Surab, he's managing, you know, over 100 workers, the coolies and the mysteries, and trying to get this temple ready to open. And Prabhupada keeps saying, where's my toilet seat? And he said, I'm working on it, Srila Prabhupada. I have it, and he's very happy to do it, but it takes some time. He's doing it. You can see that it gets done. So this went on for about 3 days. So each time I called him in, of course, it became more and more grave, this toilet seat. This was, you know, and I'm thinking, every time he come in, I was like, oh, poor Surab, you know. And he would just, very nice. He would, you know, didn't get excited. He was from, where is he from? Netherlands, or, you know, he was very even. And so never said anything back except, yes, Prabhupada, I'll see that it gets done. And 3 days later, this simple little seat wasn't done. And Prabhupada saying, I'm an old man. I need to sit properly on it. Yes, Prabhupada. So anyway, finally, the seat got done. But of course, this is the point. As a disciple, as a devotee, we're all just menial servants to the spiritual master. And our service is you do what he wants you to do. Not that we think, I'm big, big preacher, I'm big manager, I'm this, I'm that. I saw every one of them, Prabhupada used the opportunity to allow them, or hopefully give them the opportunity to see they were all just menial servants of their spiritual master, all of us. So Surab was one of these. He's building the most significant temple that we have to this day in Vrindavan. So then on one morning walk, Prabhupada was, at that time, was Chittakara Road, Bhaktivedanta Swami Marg. That's where Prabhupada would just go out the door of his room, and we would all walk up and down. Nice Brajraj, nice dirt road. It was a wonderful dirt road, you know, that you could walk up and down. And it was Tamal Krishna Maharaj. So we're walking, and we come back to the temple, and it was beautiful. The temple was done with minimal amount of money, so it wasn't marble temple, but it was done in marble dust. The outside layer was colored marble dust. They exposed it a few years ago, then they painted over it again. But at the time, it was basically looked like marble, and then there was the pink, and, you know, very light pink and light blues. It was very, very beautiful. And it didn't require any upkeep because it was marble dust. So we're walking, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj says, Prabhupada, Surab has done such wonderful service, such a beautiful temple. And Prabhupada smiled and chuckled. He said, yes, everyone is telling me, Surab has done this. Surab has done so nice. He said, Surab is, and he said, it's very beautiful. He said, but me, I simply chastise him. He said, but that's my duty, to chastise. And when he said that, I just, because I felt so bad for Saurabh. It was very sensitive. And I just felt so happy. Saurabh was there, of course. And he said, this is my duty, he said, to chastise. But even in this very amazing, intense situation, Prabhupada used it to engage him, you know, to get this wooden seat done. It was very interesting. So this is Vrindavan, and this is the perfect person. And of course, all of us, if we take the opportunity to serve this Paramahamsa as well as we can, all good fortune comes, all blessings are there. So I, at some point, I actually had the opportunity. I was with two Paramahamsas traveling around. And our godbrother, Paramahamsa Swami, he was very young. When we were in the party, I was always the youngest person by far. When I first joined Srila Prabhupada, I was 20 years old. And I was with Shyama Sundar and Prajumna, so they were a good 7-8 years older than I was. I considered them to be like, practically like father figures, you know. They were so, I was young and they were so senior devotees, senior in age, everything. So it was seemed like a vast difference at that time. And then different people were there as secretaries. Ramananda Maharaj was there. He was also almost 10 years older than me. But Paramahamsa became his secretary in 1974. At that time, I was 23, and he was younger than I was. He was one of our youngest sannyasis. He was given sannyas in 1972 at Radha Damodar Temple at the big ceremony there during Kartik. And he had been a brahmachari, and that's a story for another time. But Prabhupada gave him and Parbhajakacharya sannyasi at the same time. So I was with both of these Paramahamsas. And Paramahamsa Swami, him and I, we were very much alike. We both had a very kind of casual, easygoing. Prabhupada said I was easygoing. And he was like that as well. He was very cheerful, almost his face was cherub-like, you know, very round, angelic-looking. And when we were together, being with Prabhupada, of course, could be very intense at times, to just say that. It was very ecstatic, very blissful, but it also required a lot of focus, concentration, and attention to the details for Srila Prabhupada, whether he were his servant or his secretary. So he was his secretary. So Paramahamsa and I, we kind of, we say, like, let off steam and things at different things. We would be at kirtans, and Prabhupada would be on the Vyasasam, which was often in the back of the room. So he would be on one side, I would be on the other side. And of course, when Srila Prabhupada was in the temple, kirtans, always very ecstatic, lots of singing, dancing, lots of transcendental passion, mardangas, any number of mardangas being pounded, and kartels and gongs and wampers. And Prabhupada always very happy. He would watch everybody, and he would encourage them just by moving his head. You know, he would move his head up, everybody would be dancing with his head going up and down. So he was the puppet master. He was the master of all of us, his little puppets. So he would smile and encourage us just like that. And people would just spring into ecstasy. And being with Srila Prabhupada, month after month, year after year, sometimes you weren't in that same state that everyone else was who just saw Prabhupada for the first time or for the first time in a year or 2 years or 3 years. So Paramahamsa and I, we would watch the devotees and we would look at each other and smile, and sometimes we would try to pick out who looked the most ecstatic in the kirtan, you know, who made the funniest faces, and instead of just chanting. But I'm just trying to give you a little background so you understand us. So, one day, this was in Mexico City, and Prabhupada was taking his massage on the veranda which he did every day there. And I was behind Srila Prabhupada on the floor. Of course, I was always, Prabhupada was in his gamcha. I was in a gamcha. And I was rubbing the mustard oil on his back. And as would often happen, the secretary would come in at that time with mail. So he would ask questions. Prabhupada would dictate responses. And this is how letters were very often composed at that time. So I don't know why, but Paramahamsa, who's taller, he was a good 6 foot tall and roundish face and big. He was big. So I'm rubbing Srila Prabhupada's back. And he comes in from the door onto the veranda. And as soon as I see his face, he offers obeisances. And boom, bumps down. And he sits up. And I just looked at Paramahamsa. And as soon as I saw his face, I start laughing out loud while I'm massaging Srila Prabhupada. So Paramahamsa sees me laughing, and he starts laughing uncontrollably. Now, at the time, I'm massaging Srila Prabhupada. He's right there between the two of us. And we're both laughing. And when Paramahamsa started laughing, of course, I became more out of control. And I'm just, my whole body's shaking, and I'm trying to massage Prabhupada's back, and I'm laughing and laughing and laughing. And Paramahamsa's laughing, and there's nothing going on. It just, I don't know why, but it happened. And we're both laughing uncontrollably in it. What's so funny? And Prabhupada, you know. And the laughing stopped. That was the end of the laughing. And then I'm rubbing Prabhupada. And I'm looking, Paramahamsa, say something. You know, you're the big sannyasi secretary guy. I'm just a little servant over here. And I'm rubbing his back and waiting for Paramahamsa to give him an explanation. Well, him who was more silly than me and younger than me, and he's just like this. And I'm rubbing Prabhupada's back. I said, Prabhupada, I don't know, Prabhupada. I said, sometimes when I see Paramahamsa, he just makes me laugh. And Prabhupada goes, laughing is a Vaishnava activity. And I'm like, okay. But now no one's laughing. And I'm rubbing, and Paramahamsa, he's sitting there motionless and not a word coming out of his mouth. And then Prabhupada starts speaking. And he said, when I was young, he said, my father and I, he said we would sometimes go out. He said in Calcutta, he said with the Ganges was there, had a Gangas there. He said, my father, he was very generous. And he always made offerings to the Paramahamsas. Which was very strange. Prabhupada used this word, Paramahamsas. He said, yes. He said, sometimes, he said they would come to the door. And we know when Prabhupada talked about sometimes the different sadhus, he would say the swamis or sadhus, whatever, they would come to his door. And he said, my father always would give them something and then say, please, you make my son, he becomes a servant, faithful servant of Srimati Radharani. He said that was his only thing he ever asked, is that his son, Prabhupada, would become Radharani's servant. So Prabhupada was speaking like that. And he said, sometimes we would go out, and he said, with my father, he said, and we would go along the Ganga. And he said, and my father would give. He said, along the Ganga, he said, so many Paramahamsas are there. And we're just sitting listening, and Prabhupada's saying, this is never heard this story, you know, I've never heard this one. And he said, yes. He said, many Paramahamsas. And he said, my father, he would ask them for the blessings. And I would become Srimati Radharani's servant. He said, and then he would give them offering. He said, and sometimes he would give them ganja. Now, Paramahamsa and I are like, what? I never heard this. He said, yes. He said, sometimes, he said, the Paramahamsas, he said, they smoke a little ganja. Prabhupada's going like this. He says, because it helps control the senses. And we're thinking, this is just not, you know, at least I was thinking, like, where is this coming from? What is the problem? He said, yes. He said, so sometimes they do. He says, the Paramahamsas, they smoke a little ganja. And then he looked right at Paramahamsa Swami. He said, but not you, Paramahamsa. And then Prabhupada starts slapping his knee and laughing and laughing and laughing. Because we had been laughing over nothing. So within 2 minutes, Prabhupada developed this whole scenario. And we're just like spellbound, you know, hearing about marijuana and thinking, yeah, all right, you know, we can do this, control our senses, smoke a little pot. And Prabhupada just laughed and tears are coming out. And we're not laughing at all. We had just been completely duped by the Paramahamsa, Srila Prabhupada, with this storyline, you know. And Prabhupada laughed. So he showed us the Paramahamsas, they also laugh. Huh? There's Vaishnava activity, but they know how to. So Prabhupada gave us wonderful instruction. At the same time, he made a very incredible joke. So 20 years had gone by. 30 years had gone by, like 5 years ago, 7 years ago, I'm seeing my old friend Paramahamsa Swami, huh? Paramahamsa, who lives up in near Mount Shasta. He's in the wilderness, he's married, has his wife, and he's in the middle, his next door neighbor's about 5 miles away or something, and he's very reclusive. And we were talking, he said, you remember that? You know, you remember when Prabhupada, and I said, yes, I said, I never tell anybody that story, I said, because I just doesn't seem like a good story to tell, you know. And he said, well, he said, you know, when I became a devotee, he said, I was 18, 17, he said, I had never even been on a date with a girl. He was a brahmachari when he became a devotee, you know. He said, I'd never been with a girl, he said, and I had no, he said, but I had one attachment. He said, smoking ganja. So Prabhupada knew everything. You know, Prabhupada knew everything. And of course now, you know, attachment may or may not still be there. But Prabhupada used that whole thing in so many things. He did so many things at the same time. He let Paramahamsa know that this is not your business. This isn't what we do as Vaishnavas and us Paramahamsas. He said, not you, Paramahamsa. So Prabhupada was so clever and so funny. So he could give instructions in many ways. I mean, here he was giving an instruction and tears coming down his eyes, which for me, that's what I appreciated most about Srila Prabhupada as a Paramahamsa, was his laughing. Saying here in Los Angeles, I was just talking Rabindranath Prabhu and Naikatma Prabhu. We want to maybe go upstairs, devotees, once sometime. We can have like a little tour. He was asking me what Prabhupada did here, what these rooms were used for and things. So if the devotees want, it would be very nice. We could have some class up there. It seems like going to be in the area here for some days or a week or so. But the first time I came here, was to receive Brahmin initiation. And I was able to go in the garden every day to read Prabhupada Krishna book. It's just 5-6 people in the garden every afternoon, and somehow I became the designated Krishna book reader by Kurunder, handed me the book. And I got to see in so many days reading Krishna book where Prabhupada would just start laughing especially when he heard about Krishna Balaram killing demons, you know, breaking them in half and blood flying, and Prabhupada would just laugh and laugh like a child, you know, very innocent and childlike. And this was my first real personal association with Srila Prabhupada. And when I saw that devotees could laugh, that it was okay to laugh, I became very, very happy, because up until that time, I just saw this very serious, you know, because we're devotee has to be grave, silent, grave, all these different qualities. But then here was Prabhupada, same thing in the garden. Prabhupada, 3 times I was with Prabhupada where he laughed so hard, and he would do, as we say, you know, a knee slapper. Prabhupada would slap his knee, And his whole body would just shake and tears would come down. And I thought, yes, you know, this is Krishna consciousness. You know, all this other serious, that's very, very nice. It's very serious. But I like this part of Krishna consciousness, you know. And I like that part very much of Srila Prabhupada. And on my own, sometimes, and even using myself as the person, I would say things hoping Srila Prabhupada would smile or laugh. And very often he would, you know. He would make a little joke or something and Prabhupada would laugh. He had such a wonderful sense of humor. So, it's I guess it's already about time. Again, I'm very happy to be here with everyone in New Dwarka. Prabhupada knew it was one of my favorite places. I was telling them upstairs, the one time we came here, and just after arrival, and I was putting the suitcases away, and I came into the room, and Prabhupada was looking out his back window there. And he said, so, and I was a brahmachari at the time, and he said, so Srutakirti Maharaj, he said, do you like it here in New Dwarka? And he knew I loved New Dwarka, you know. And I said, yes, Prabhupada. And he just smiled. He said, yes, it's very nice here. So Prabhupada liked it here, of course, very, very much. And many times he would say he was just going to stay here in New Dwarka, you know, and translate and let everything else go on, all the management go on by his big, big leaders, GBCs, and he could just stay and translate because it was such a nice situation. So this is in this New Dwarka community, and we have Suvas Prabhu, his brother, and so many of you who are here still that keep this place just like when Srila Prabhupada was here. It's so nice to see everything intact. It hasn't been gradually sold off. The buildings are still here, occupied by the devotees. It's such a wonderful community. So I'd just like to thank you all for maintaining this place for Srila Prabhupada and allowing me to come and spend a little time here. Hare Krishna. Yes. I'm looking at my wife because we were going out somewhere today. But yes, okay. Okay. If you want to do that, we can. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Yes, we can go. It'll be very nice up in Prabhupada's quarters, yes. Any other questions, comments? Yes. Yeah, we'll concentrate on New Dwarka this evening. We'll tell many. I'll try. Yes. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.